Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
If you take just a moment to think about Earth Day, you'll realize it's actually about the Earth, not just what's going on in the U.S. We are now one world. We are becoming ever more interconnected as globalization tethers all of our boats together. So on this Earth Day, we hear from a man who's been to the mountain and offers his vision of a sustainable world as the weekly Earth Summit brings you a special Earth Day address by the Dalai Lama. When your voice of the Earth continues, here on the Wild Side News. So much of what we hear about the future of Earth and our environment is filtered through our Western perspective. But as the world and all of its people face the sea change ahead, it's wise to broaden our perspective. Today, a special Earth Day 2008 presentation, as we go in-depth with a man who has been in the vortex of vision for the future of humankind for a long time. This last weekend, the Dalai Lama presented a series of lectures at the University of Michigan's Peter M. Wege Lecture Series, sponsored by Jules Hart, the Tibet Fund, and the Garrison Institute. The Dalai Lama focuses on sustainability of the world's people, cultures, and environments. We bring you his talk in its entirety in this extended weekly Earth Summit. Welcome to the weekly Earth Summit, which today will be the most important 90 minutes on Earth. I'm your host, Sydney Wildsmith. The concept of sustainability has been developing now for years. It's approached generally from the perspective of the intelligent and equitable use of our limited resources in a radically globalizing world. But the issue of sustainability goes much deeper than that, and it's rare to find anyone willing and capable of addressing the true nature of the future of humankind on this our little planet Earth. But today, this is about to change as we take the next two segments of the Wild Side News to hear the Dalai Lama address sustainability. In this first segment, we hear him speak on the subject, and in the next segment, he answers a few questions from the audience. So I am excited to bring you in its entirety this historic discussion, the Dalai Lama.
Dear brothers and sisters, and particularly the president of the university, I am very happy and great honor to speak with you. Right from the beginning, I want to make clear my knowledge in every field very limited. In Tibetan,
there's a Tibetan expression which says that someone knows 100 things, but bits here and bits there.
So if around the audience, if they come here with a lot of expectation, Dalai Lama might say some very sort of serious things or something like that, it is mistake. I have nothing to say, some profound thing. Then, some cases, you see, some individual, you see, come to see me, we believe Dalai Lama has some kind of healing power. That's absolutely nonsense. I myself very skeptical to those people who claim some healing power. Many years ago in London, Albert Hall,
Royal Albert Hall,
one talk, I mentioned if someone is who sort of believe Dalai Lama have some kind of healing power, and I told if there is someone who really have that kind of healing power, then I would like to show my sort of skin disease here. So then the next day I received some ointment for the skin problem. So that's a real blessing. Then then perhaps among the audience, I think majority maybe simply to come with the curiosity, what is that I'm going to say or something. Okay, that's no problem. So then firstly, you see, my talk usually is without sort of notice on these things, notary. Not just a spontaneous sort of express. Usually you try to make some connection, the theme, like that. So may not be very smooth. There's some point from here, some point from here. So that I want to make clear. And then also in my English, naturally very limited, vocabulary very limited, and also there is no grammar sort of rules. And worst thing is getting older, and my English also getting older. So difficult. So be careful when I use certain word that may not be what I intended. So in any way, I'm happy. Opportunity, interact, right? With people. So through that way, I consider something like education. A good opportunity to share some of my views with the audience, and maybe some new ideas, you see, may find. And then, to me, through questions, I also, you see, get some sort of knowledge or awareness. The among the audience, what points they have certain sort of interest or certain concern. So helpful. Then sometimes unexpected question. That also very helpful. I say to make me think the new point. So these are as a sort of educational program. Very good. Now today, the theme, brother.
The theme of our presentation here is sustainability in celebration of the Earth Day.
That English I don't know. what it called?
Sustainability.
I can't pronounce. So the environment issue. I think that is for me also, it is something new, new thing. When we were in Tibet, you see, because of climate condition, for example, water always pure. When we come to come across, you see, people say, "Oh, this water polluted. You cannot drink." This is okay for drinking water. Little bit sort of surprise. Then eventually, as a result of meeting with expert, some scientist, then I realize, environment issue is so important. Two reasons. Number one, taking care of our planet, environment, is something like taking care of our own home. If someone, in order to get warm heat, so your own furniture burn, it is foolish. So something like that, without consideration about environment issue, simply, you see, they utilize maximum way on nature resources, including trees and waters, these things. It's something like that. Burning your own furniture of your own house. So we have the responsibility to take care about the environment. This is our only home. The other day I mentioned like moons, you see, the people through ancient time in dark sky in night, it's something, source of inspiration, beautiful, and as I say, they take often because of poem, she said.
Poets take inspiration from moon.
But moon is not some kind of reservation for our next home. If something happened here and go there easily and settle there, it is impossible. Moon is something like leave it there and look, enjoy it. If we really try to have to go there and settle, I think impossible. So therefore, this blue planet is the only home. Then secondly, and then also, because of the population, in ancient time, okay, I think a limited number, 1 billion human being, 2 billion, maybe, okay, just think, consume, utilize nature resources maximum way, okay. But now over 6 billion human being, and also lifestyle becoming more sophisticated. So therefore, many years ago, I think in England, meeting some expert about environment, nature resources. They told me the present number of populations, then near 6 billion, and living standard of the underdeveloped country, the poorer countries, their living standard raised up to the living standard which northern world enjoy, then it is big questionable whether nature resources can sustain or not. So now over 6 billion human beings already. So that's also one serious matter. Then basically I always feel, particularly from the Buddhist viewpoint, each individual human life is very precious. But now question is, now today is question is not just one precious life sort of concern, but entire 6 billion human being, entire 6 billion precious lives. Now that's now concern. So therefore, the limited number of people, I think serious matter. We should think seriously. Then the second point, the environment issue. Violence, bloodshed, these, when we saw like television, they immediately struck in our mind. So they sort of, what's the feeling or importance of non-violence, that kind of feeling immediately come. But then environment issue, not like that. Something invisible. So gradually, year by year, become worse. And then eventually, when you actually get feeling some difficulties in eye or difficulties breathing and a certain new illness, these things happen, then maybe too late. Therefore, we need a special sort of special attention, and particularly I think education, the importance of importance of awareness of the environment. Then the non-violent method, that also I think essentially should be part of our life, but particularly this taking care with sense of responsibility about the environment, that should be part of our life. So our daily life, including using electricity or any water like that. The other day I also mentioned from my own side, maybe silly contribution. I never so took bath
in a bathtub.
And many years ago, it is some skin problems, I do this and that. Otherwise, it's only shower. Never. So, as a small contribution, at least from my part, the
conservation of water.
And then every time when I leaving the room, the hotel room, I always put off the light. So these become habit. So small way, make some contribution. Now, now global warming, but some factor may be beyond our control. But according to experts, certainly some of our human behavior also make a contribution for global warming. So the amount of melting ice and North Pole, South Pole are really very, very serious matter, really threatening. I think many big cities like Calcutta or Shanghai or Tokyo one day may emerge.
Submerge.
So at least Dharamsala, my place in India, and Himalayan food, no danger. So quite safe. So that is a really serious matter, isn't it? Now, if we really think sort of objectively, carefully, now there is possibility, if we take care, say things can change. I think more than 20, 30 years ago, one time I was in Stockholm in Sweden. One of my friend told me about 10 years ago, the river in the Stockholm city, in the center of the city, so one big river, about 10 years ago, no fish because of a lot of pollution. Around that river, some factories. But then last 10 years, that person told me, last 10 years, these factories take special measure, although a little bit expensive, but take a special measure, is it to
reduce the environmental effects.
Mm-hmm. So after 10 years, now some fish now begin to appear. So it makes differences. So our effort makes differences. So therefore, I think environment issue, firstly, important to educate, make awareness, then introduce each of us, responsibility on each of us, and that should become part of our daily life. And then it really makes some sort of effect. And then also, one time in Germany, one factory, big factory, I was visiting. So they concerned people, explained certain equipment they make especially for the sustainable secretary, recycle.
That would use recycled materials, yeah.
And also the pollution is Mayoya.
And there were also measures built into the system that would decrease the pollution.
So there are, I think, the technology or method is to reduce these effects. So that part about ecology now perhaps completed. now usually wherever I have opportunity sharing with public, two points always keep in my mind. Number one, my commitment for promotion of human value. Human value means certain our emotions or mental attitude which act as a basis of our happiness, our successful life, and also our mental well-being, through that way physical well-being, that we should consider value. Of course, our intelligence generally also part of our value, but not very sure. Sometimes intelligence creates more worry, more nerve breakdown.
Agitations.
And
also obsessive thinking processes can lead to restlessness in one's mind.
So therefore, when I say human value, mainly human warm-heartedness, sense of responsibility, sense of community. These two things based on human, I say, affection, loving kindness. And particularly we are social animal. Social animal means our life, our survival based on the community. So in emotional level, there must be one factor to bring together. That's also human affection. And that affection, although all religious tradition emphasizes importance of that, but the affection itself comes from biological factor. Because we are social animal, and also say our the very life, the very nature of our life, this body, you see, they, at the beginning of our birth, our survival entirely depend on others' care. Here, mother's care, and with mother's milk, we survived. So key factor in emotional level is the human affection, mother's affection. The child side also, affection towards mother. Just after birth, no idea who is that person. But emotionally or biologically, you see, you totally rely on that person. So long that person close with you or taking care of that.
Hold you.
You feel safe, happy, calm. As soon as separate, feel anxiety, feel insecurity. We can witness the dogs, cats, or these birds. We can see so long with mother, their offspring. Peace, happy. Now, some scientists experimented the monkey, some monkey, sort of offspring, or young monkey with their mother, some put separately. Then they noticed those monkey with mother, playful, always happy mood. The monkey who separated from the mother, always ready to anger, fight, ready to fight. And then some, the medical experiment.
Rats, yeah.
Guinea pigs. I think guinea pigs. Or mice, maybe. So you see, the one, what is it?
Licking.
One get more licking. The physical condition better. The same animal, isolated, difficult to recover. So affection is so important. That has not come through religion, but come from nature, mainly biological factor. Then also medical scientists, they notice after birth, next few weeks, mother's physical touch is the crucial factor for enlargement of the brain. So these are, I consider, human value. Now scientists noticed a more compassionate person, their brain function is better. As a preventive measure for illness, also is it better, and recover illness, also is it better, more compassionate person. So, I think logically, more compassionate person, there is more inner peace, inner calmness. Because compassion reduces fear. Logically, compassion there, trust come. Trust is the just opposite of the fear. So fear, very bad for our health. Anger, hatred as well. So the counterforce, these are warm-heartedness. It's clear. So, that is human value. So everybody wants a happy life. I think 6 billion human beings on this planet, no one from early morning, now today, I hope I may get a good fight. Nobody feels that. Today I wish I create creation of one enemy. Nobody feels that. But everybody from early morning, as soon as wake up, or today, I wish I receive some sort of my friend or some kind of something good things. So therefore, happy life, or another word. But in spite that kind of desire, that kind of wish, 6 billion human beings, a lot of unwanted things often happen. These, if we look closely, much of these problems is our own creation. So the countermeasure, knowledge also is important, but mainly warm-heartedness. Now today, a lot of problems, I think family level, or community level, or global, or national level. In the past, among human community, some conflict happened. Then, unfortunately, in our long human history, as they method through violent way and try to solve. That's the one way of solution. In ancient time, maybe okay. Each group, each community, more or less independent. So their survival, economy limited, and there are not much sort of complicated sort of situation. So in that case, your neighbor who creates some problem is truly, you can consider enemy. So the destruction of your enemy is victory of yourself. But in modern time, that reality completely gone. Not only nation to nation, but also continent to continent, heavily interdependent. Under that circumstances, according to that new reality, the very concept of we and they is no longer exist. All rest of the world should be considered part of yourself. So, under that circumstances, the concept of war is outdated. Only the meantime, some disagreement, some different interest always there. So now the only practical method is through dialogue, through talk, through share that problem. So therefore, now here you need will, determination, wisdom. In that field also, compassion, affection, a sense of responsibility, sense of community is very, very essential. So I think in various fields, individual physical well-being up to the global levels of problem, I think affection is very, very important. That comes from our mother. So everybody, 6 billion human beings, and everybody here in this sort of hall, all come from mother. All survived, grown with mother's milk, or mother's care. So we all have same potential, warm-heartedness. Now think more serious about our inner values or inner potentials. So that's my number one commitment, promotion of human value. That I usually call, these values are secular values. And the method promotion of these values also should be secular way, using common sense, common experience, and scientific findings. So that's my number one commitment. So here, if I make sort of some connection with environment, I think environment, the external sort of surrounding, beautiful, everything very peaceful. But unless inner environment, some kind of inner environment, not fully take care, then the external sort of, peaceful alone will not bring inner peace. For example, the taking care of physical as well as taking care of mind. So similarly, taking care of the external environment, meantime, there is no point to neglect about caring of internal environment. Then another point, another my commitment is promotion of religious harmony. I think I want to say a few words, because this morning and yesterday, 3 sessions, lecture on Buddhism. So I think I want to say, to say a few words in this respect. I look this way. Basically, religion, various different religion, is human beings religion. In heaven, what kind of religion, we don't know. We know the religion on human level, human beings. So therefore, naturally, all religions, their basic sort of message or basic sort of aim is to bring happiness, peace in our mind. So therefore, the all major religious traditions carry same message of love, compassion, affection, forgiveness, and tolerance, contentment, self-discipline. All religions. So therefore, the way promote human value, 3 ways. I look this way. Theistic way of promotion of values, then non-theistic religious way to promote, then secular way to promote. Now firstly, I'm talking, I think the first one, the theistic religions. Of course, within the theistic religion, there are different philosophies, different traditions, but basically all accept Creator. So, as I mentioned earlier, all traditions have same potential, same message. So there is no reason to fight each other. And firstly, all carry same message and same potential. And secondly, among humanity, because of geographical sort of separation and different times, different traditions already there. Last 1,000 years, different traditions there in Asia, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, so on. Middle East, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, like that. Then perhaps some different sort of area, some indigenous religious belief also is different there. But major, I think these things. So, they at different time, different climate, different way of life, I think different philosophy or different sort of tradition with different philosophy is developed and necessary. So each one have its own beauty. Now for example, in order to promote, in order to strengthen human compassion, the secular way and then non-theistic way, theistic way, they are different, but same aim, same purpose. Now theistic, I think wonderful, what's the way, wonderful approach. God, the creator of everything. So, one time, many years ago, one my Christian, Benedictine monk, who spent many years in India, Griff, sir, Father?
Pete Griffiths.
Father Griff or something?
Father Pete Griffiths.
Oh. He looks like Indian sadhu. The one Christian, a monk, a wonderful person. Now, looks like these are getting hilly. I think a person who make that, I think, found it difficult to grammatically. So he or she may put some new word there. So the one time I asked him, what is wrong if you accept previous life? Then he told me, the reason, this very life created by God, there's no previous life. When I heard that, it's really wonderful, very powerful method, because this very life created by God, then you got the feeling almost like parent, very close. Oh, God graciously give me this life. Then very strong sort of feeling of intimacy, very close this feeling, very dear feeling. As a result, more dear, more intimacy that brings willingness to follow, to fulfill his wish. So it is very beautiful, isn't it? The other approach everything due to your own karma, your own past or what's the action, then you may feel Buddha as a teacher originally
like an ordinary person,
like ourselves. Then to some people, I think the other one, I think much stronger, isn't it? So it is own beauty to bring the inner peace, bring hopes, conviction, like that. Then non-theistic religion, like Jainism and Buddhism, not talking about creator, but talking about law of causality. Everything is due to its own causes, conditions. So here, the concept of karma now happen. So, your own future, all future consequences entirely depend on your own action. So, since nobody wants negative consequences, so have to take care about one's own action. Our daily action should be positive action. Positive, negative here means those action which brings consequences. It's good. Good means some joyful, beneficial. Negative consequences means some harmful, suffering, pain. So since we, by nature, do not want suffering, want happiness, so happiness and suffering comes due to its own causes and conditions. So we have to take care about causes and conditions. So that's the non-theistic religious approach. Both have same aim, same goal, but different approach. Now to some people, the theistic way of approach is much more effective. To some people, non-theistic way of approach is more effective. So it is up to one individual choice. So, judging these kind of the reality, then you can feel, oh, we humanity need different way of approach because of different geography, different time, different mental disposition. And meantime, all carry same message, same effect, same purpose. Of course, the ultimate aim, the nirvana or salvation and heaven, these are something different. But these are a bit far. Within this lifetime, more happier, more compassionate, more harmonious. Now, these are the same purpose. So therefore, second commitment is promotion of religious harmony on the basis of mutual respect, mutual understanding. I am Buddhist. Now here, in order to promote the genuine harmony, I usually have 3 or 4 methods I practice since I think 75. Number one practice is meeting with scholars and what differences, what similarities. That very helpful to get better sort of knowledge, understand about different traditions. Second, meeting with practitioner who have some inner spiritual experience is very, very helpful in order to know the other's value, other tradition's value. My own experience, I met number of Christian practitioners, some monks, some nuns, some ministers. And one of my Christian friend, I think a minister, who really was engaged, taking care of poor people. That was in Australia. So one time, my public talk, he come to introduce me. So he described me as a good Christian. So obviously he knows I'm Buddhist. But you see, he consider as a good Christian. That means there are common practice. So my practice is also is common with Christian practitioner. And then one occasion, I think some of you perhaps may have heard, I think, my previous visit. How many years ago? One time I came to Michigan here. Huh?
9 years ago?
15.
5 years ago.
5 years ago. Huh? 5 years.
Then I think most probably I may mention, I think. Then it like it's repetition. But I think some new people also may be here. So I want to share you, with you. That is many years ago, I think 30 years ago, one occasion in Spain, I think Barcelona, the Montserrat Temple or Monastery. So there I met one Catholic monk. His body, not big, and his English, very poor, I think worse than me. So I have more courage to speak with him. So he came. Then I was told, before we met our meeting, some local sort of friend, he told me that Catholic monk, spent 5 years in the mountain of the behind the monastery. Then, out of my curiosity, I asked him. I was told, you spent 5 years in the mountain, the hermitage, hermit life.
As a hermit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very little sort of normal food, like that. I asked, during these years, what kind of you doing there? What kind of practice? Then he mentioned meditating on love. When he mentioned that, when he responded that, in his eyes was some special sort of significance. So as a result, you see, these personal sort of meeting, exchange, and also the Martin Luther King. Thomas Merton.
Late Thomas Merton.
Thomas Merton. As a personal contact and exchange and their sort of inner spiritual experiences, these really opened my eye about Christianity. And then, of course, I think every people knows Mother Teresa. How wonderful that old nun. So, personal meeting, the exchange, inner spiritual experiences, wonderful method to cross a feeling. Then third group pilgrimage to different holy places. With this concept, actually I started 79 from Sarnath. One day in India, one day I start pilgrimage, one mosque, one Buddhist temple, then Christian church, then Hindu temple, then Sikh temple, I think Jain temple, like that. So with same spirit, Jerusalem, not just tourist, not like a tourist, but like as a pilgrimage. I think I had two or three opportunity, Jerusalem pilgrim to Jerusalem. So that also very powerful, and with that I also visited a Lohut in France, and one time in Fatima in Portugal. I'm Christian. I'm Buddhist. So my mistake always happened. So be careful. So but in the front of the Christ of Jesus statue in Lohud, or I think Mary statue, and that water, many people cure from that water. So in front of that, I really felt, oh, thousands of people who really need God's help come here, passing through that area, and get almost new life, new inspiration, new hope. I really felt deeply. So that automatically brings appreciation towards Christianity, admiration, and very close feeling of spiritual brothers, sisters. And then at Fatima, little bit of miracle. One Mary statue, I think this size. As my usual practice, my Christian brother, sister, and myself, so we spend few moments in silent meditation. And afterward, we about to leave. And I turn to the Mary statue. That actually Mary statue smiling towards me. If my eyes go something wrong, then different. Otherwise, I actually saw Mary smiling beautifully. So at that moment, I also felt, oh, yes, different spirituality have some sort of miracle weather. Some extraordinary sort of things possible. And at least for me, Mary shows some kind of the genuine sort of spiritual brother or sister sort of feeling. I felt something very special. So perhaps at that time I may turn to Christian. So I mentioned I'm Christian. Anyway. So these are my personal sort of experience. So these brings something very close sort of feeling. Of course I am Buddhist. My faith towards Buddhism, but my respect towards all religion. That's third method. Now, fourth method, like Assisi meeting. Leaders of different tradition come together and speak one voice, peace, and importance of spirituality. It's so wonderful. The late Pope initiated that meeting. So, such things, I think, in the eyes of millions of followers of different tradition, I think get some kind of very important message. So, some of my Christian friend, as a sort of response, firstly, they invite me to England, John Main,
to participate in a John Main seminar.
I am Buddhist, but give them lecture on Bible, Samkara.
Selected passages from the four Gospels.
So each morning, Father Lawrence.
Yeah. Father Lawrence Freeman, the host.
Father, I know since many years, so I learned from him. As a homework, then give a teaching at the seminar, and with some sort of Buddhist sort of kasoda.
Buddhist perspectives. Yeah.
Buddhist perspective. So I really, at that time, I really found it's a difficult task. Strictly speaking, I'm non-believer, isn't it? Non-theistic religious sort of practitioner. Strictly non-believer, try to explain to believer according to their most important text, Bible. Then I try my best. I try to reasoning, there should be, on mysterious level, there should be creator. Otherwise, these things, this is some systematic sort of things, it cannot happen. So there must be sort of planner, that's God. So then I think three days, I think seminar went very well. Then afterwards, all these people very much appreciate about my explanation on the some gospel sort of sentences like that. So as a return, some of them came to India at Buddha Gaya and a few days seminar. Each morning they come under Bodhi tree where 2500 years ago is Buddha enlightened. So each morning they come with us half an hour silent meditation. So that's, I think, really genuine sort of exchange or sharing is a common experiences. So these four things, since then, whenever I have the opportunity, I practice these things. So it is very, very helpful. So some of you, if you have some interest, I think that kind of method, good for promotion of religious harmony. So today, some cases, religion also become another sort of cause for divisions or conflict. It is very, very unfortunate. So these things are, I think, way to develop inner pure inner environment.
This special edition of the Wild Side News continues as the Dalai Lama takes questions from the audience during the Peter M. Wege Lecture on Sustainability presented at the Chrysler Arena at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor this past weekend. Stay tuned. Thank you.